No, 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 they wanna see me doing bad, but I'm good. Hey, but I'm good. Hey, no, they wanna see me doing bad, but I'm good. Hey, but I'm good. Hey, no, they wanna see me doing bad. Yeah, doing good, doing well. They ain't tell you that the real prevail.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 7th episode of In the Database with Nana. With me on this episode now is the lovely Charlize. She's a junior at Berkeley, which will not make a big deal about since I'm a Stanford person, and a huge Klay Thompson fan. What's up, Charlize?
Hey, Nana.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, good. I'm just so happy that Argentina won the World Cup, so my day started off really well.
Goodness, literally, I woke up early and it paid off. I was like going to be so upset if I woke up at 7 and they lost, but they pulled it out.
I'm so excited that it's hosted in the U.S., the next World Cup, so they'll be waking up to our timings and not their timings, which will be hilarious when you think about it.
I'm going to try to go to SoFi or Levi's. I'm going to try to go.
Oh, yeah, try to get one of those games in. But you'll have to like kind of plan ahead like right now to even attend the World Cup. So you'll have to start saving up right now and like get those tickets and stuff. But you don't have to worry about housing and stuff. But other than that.
Yeah, no flights or anything like that.
It's been a great World Cup. So how do you feel about our Warriors? I want to focus on this pod on just the Warriors. Since I have
a
fan here and you're a Bay Area native, which is super important.
Yeah. Actually, it's like perfect to be doing this off of the game that we just came off of, you know? Like it was a really, really good team win.
Absolutely. Before this game came up, like this would have been a different focus, but like I seen something different in tonight's game. I just rewatched it because I was watching football during our game. And okay. I seen so much, like it was such a different team to me. Like it's just the hustle, the energy. Granted, the Raptors were missing some easy shots that teams usually do make against us, which I get so mad about. But we were doing to have some of those games, you know, where other teams don't shoot lights out on us. So looking at Golden State's schedule and so far, these 10 games while we're missing Steph Curry, how confident are you at? Like in 10 games, what do you think our record would be?
So I actually am like really confident, and I'll tell you like why. So in these past few games, we've gotten to see Jordan has taken the step, you know, that he needed. So, you know, that was going to be like the key thing for us. And so tonight what we saw from Draymond is actually like the Draymond I've been waiting for all season. Like I know people have been like, oh, Draymond's been, and like to me, Draymond hasn't really been Draymond this season.
Oh yeah.
The intensity is lacking defensively, especially. And it's like, from Draymond, it's like everyone's like, oh, the offensive stuff. But it's for me, it's like, I want the defense. Like, that's what we need from him. So if that's not up to par, like everything else that he's doing, I'm not really seeing it. So tonight I saw, like, it was amazing what he did in the first quarter with the scoring. But, like, he alone was a force in the paint. And, you know, the Raptors are filled with wings. So everything they have is like drive. They have a couple shooters. I know they were without Gary Trent tonight, and that's like, you know, one of their outside threats. So he kind of controlled the paint tonight, and that's something that we need from him, you know, going forward. And then why I'm also confident, Klay has yet to have a Klay game. Like with his shots, they're like rushing. He's not getting his release right. It's like he's doing this thing with his arms where he's like not holding his, like, you know, Klay always holds his follow through after his shots. He kind of leaves it there for a while. He's just like throwing it up. And, you know, that's very uncharacteristic for him. So just those easy, like quick things. And he's kind of leaning to the left a little bit on his jumper. So like you fix those kind of things and that's easy. Like, Klay can literally, I think tonight he was 3-9 from three. He can easily make that 7-9, like easily, just a couple key things. And his defense has come like a long way. Like tonight I saw really, really good defense tonight on Scottie, on Fred, a couple plays he was guarding Siakam too. I was like, okay. So yeah, those three are the main reasons why I'm like really confident going forward.
Okay. I want to break the three up in little segments. So let's start with Jordan first. I've been really frustrated with Jordan this season. It's not just like the shooting, it's just the way he's playing. Like, I don't want to use the dumb, like, it's just very low IQ plays. Like, and inability to like pump fake when you have a big 7-footer on you. Like, why would you shoot that? I'm very adamant when I say this that Jordan Poole's a better driver than he's a shooter. And the sooner
I say that all the time.
And the sooner
he realizes that
we all accept and realize and try to get him to focus on that, because he's too busy trying to be like Steph Curry that is actually affecting his game now. He wants to be
the Steph. It's like he's playing in, you know, Splash City. Like, it's Splash City. He's like Steph, Clay, and then now Wiggins is shooting like at a 45% clip. Dante sometimes gets three happy. So I think that, but what one thing Jordan has over, and this is probably a controversial take, I don't know, but at Steph, where Steph was at Jordan's age, like, Jordan's a much better driver. Like, even if you want to chalk it up to, like, his first step, like, he gets to the rim, you know, much easier than, like, obviously Steph's scoring threat alone, shooting threat helps him get to the basket, but, like, Jordan's just pure ability to get the basket is, like, so strong. So I think he just kind of sees everyone else shooting the shots, and he just gets kind of caught up
in it. Steph was a lot tinier, smaller his first few years in the NBA, even all the way to like 26, even his MVP years, he was very tiny. So like him, it wasn't more on like he couldn't drive, he was really good skill, he just didn't have the body and the strength to do it, take that kind of beating. And plus Steph was dealing with injuries early in his career.
Exactly. And you know, even Steph with the one thing that he's done now that he's kind of grown into, and that could be like you're talking about his body composition kind of changed a bit, he goes into the contact now.
Yeah.
So before I would notice he would shy away from contact, try to get away from contact, and also just his shot making ability, like, makes that, obviously it's like you don't forget the contact, he can throw it up and it's probably gonna go in. So with Jordan, he's like craftier with his finishes, with his moves, because he doesn't have that same shooting threat that Steph does, to where they don't know if they want to play you for the drive or the shot. So just his pure ability to get to the basket is just so, like, he's just very gifted in that regard. So I agree, like, and I've been seeing him do that more too. So that's another thing, like, now, because starting off, it seemed like he was just getting three happy. Like, he had a couple games in a row, like, 1 of 6, 1 of 7, 1 of 8 from three. And that was, like, back to back to back.
Yeah. And he needs to understand that even with Wiggins, like, developing that shot, it didn't start with him shooting threes right away. So if Jordan can just master that inside game, because he's really quick and he has a deadly first step, he understands and he drives more, then defense lightens up on the three-point shot. He's not going to be hovered, double-teamed, and trapped up there. And he can just take smart shots beyond the three-point
line. Exactly.
Which will just then turn him back into the shooter he is. But as of right now, he's a much better driver than he is a shooter.
Sure. And that's not even a knock to a shot. That's like a praise to his driving ability. Like, that's how good of a driver you are.
Yes. And he's bailing teams out every time he takes these 30 footers. Because now you're like, you're not
early in the shot clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now you're not an efficient shooter, and you're taking away the skill that you're really good at, and you're giving the defense a break. And those misses means, what does that mean, Charlie? It's like that he's going to be the first point
long
of
rebounds
defense.
Too.
Yeah, it'll be a rebound, but what makes it worse is he'll be the first point of defense to stop the person driving to the lane, which
exactly.
He won't. And you don't want to be in that position.
And that a lot of times ends up in an and one.
Yes.
Going with Jordan, like, a little bit on that IQ point. Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about like how he started the season off. The defense was like, and I think defensively, it's honestly a lack of effort, because in the games where he's scoring more and like getting more shots, his defense isn't as bad. So it's like if he gets himself out better offensively, gets himself going, like he steps it up a bit on defense. Like, obviously, he's no elite defender. He's like really not even a positive defender at best. Right now, he's like a neutral defender at best. So it's like,
I wouldn't even go as far as calling neutral. I think that he's a negative at the moment.
No, neutral at best. So like, even his best defensive plays, like, put him, that would be a neutral. Like right now he's a clear negative on defense, like, definitely.
Yeah.
But well, it's just like when I see him get it going, like tonight they did. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that would take a lot of just like preparation for him to get better defensively, just knowing where to be. Because Jordan, like, if you can just get to like watching film and stuff, because he's 6'4", like 195, so he should be a decent defender at a point guard position for his height, and because he's pretty much bigger than most point guards in the position.
Yeah, and then he has the speed.
Mm-hmm. And he has the speed. So if he just learns how to be grounded and like watches the film and know where to be, when to over help, when to not help, when to be in the passing lanes, like, even like, you got to be scrappy enough to get steals at that early in your career, you know,
exactly.
When he's like, you, like, I think Steph was always leading the league in like top five steals and stuff like that early, like when you're not a great defender back then. Steph obviously had the cushion of Clay, but now Poole has the cushion of Andrew Wiggins, so I'll be asking you defensively.
Yeah, and even in the second unit he has Dante.
Yeah, now we're asking you to be in the passing lane, being disruptive,
exactly.
Like getting like when I ask you to go and lock somebody up one-on-one, just,
but it's like, we can't have, you know, defensive possessions getting broken up because players are like targeting you, like we can't,
yeah, and we can't have players getting in foul trouble because they have to overhelp and do something for you.
Exactly.
And that's what's been causing us a lot of the game, which is why I call him a negative right now, because a lot of the times Draymond's in foul trouble or Wiggins in foul trouble is because they're overhelping on Poole's man.
Yeah, Looney, I noticed that with Looney too.
And we got to get out of that situation. And so I know you're a huge Clay fan, so I want to move forward to the other of the three that I wanted to talk about. With Clay, what do you think is the main issue with his shot and what's going on with him?
So I love Clay. That's been my favorite player for probably since about 2012. I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even tell you why. But yeah, so I paid attention to his jump shot a lot. And when he first got back from his injury last year, I was like watching his jump shot. I'm like, his foot spacing, everything was the same. But his release, it looked like his release had gotten quicker. Like last year when on a shot, like the release had looked like it gotten quicker. So when he comes into this season, he starts and I'm like looking at his release. I'm like, the release looks like it's the same. And I start watching like his legs and stuff. And I'm like, well, they did say, you know, he wasn't able to scrimmage and stuff. So I'm like, okay, maybe he's off balance. Maybe is he off balance? Like, is that why he's off balance and not getting his legs under him? Because he's missing a lot of shots short. So I'm like, okay, he's not getting his legs under him. I get that. So as the season goes on, I start to see him having games where he is hitting his threes. And I'm looking, I'm like, it's not the foot stuff. His release looks pretty similar. But then it's like I'm watching in game on certain shots, he literally just rushes his release. He just rushes the release. So it's like, you know how Clay always had, like, no matter what his feet were doing, his hands and his release, the set point, everything was always the same. So it looks like now he's, like, pushing the ball forward just, like, quickly, like, trying to just throw it up there. Like, he's shooting, like, some of his set shots as if they're an end-of-the-shot clock heave. Like, I just have to get it up really quickly. I noticed that in particular today as well. There was a point, I think he was at the right wing. He shot up. He was a little bit deep. It was probably like maybe a 27 foot or something like that. And he threw it up and I'm watching and he doesn't even hold his follow through. He just like throws it up there and is like immediately like running back a bit. And so I, you know, I'm like, let me go watch a couple other things that I didn't notice that. And I've seen him doing that a lot. Like he's just rushing the shots and he's not holding his follow through at all. So I'm like, those are like minor little things, especially as a shooter. Cause it's like, you see stuff in the same game go in and you're like, wow. So like that looked perfect. So he just has to get back to the consistency of his shots. And, you know, by then it's muscle memory. So I think he's just overthinking it. He doesn't want to miss too many shots, especially now with Steph out. So I mean, I think it's that, but of course, you know, that's something you want to fix sooner than later.
Well, when I look at Clay play, I think this is a new take. I don't think I've ever said this out loud. I think I am looking at it differently. I don't think there's anything wrong with him physically or his shot. I think his problems are mentally. And when I say that, I mean, like, even when he's what you're talking about him rushing shots, I think it's part of his mental health and what's going on in his head. And I think he's like, I'm trying to do too much too soon. Or like, they expect me to be all the way to 2019 Clay again, back to, you know, and it's a lot for a player. These are two, what would have been like 10 years ago, two career ending injuries. Okay. And he had them back to back. And that's just a lot. Like, even to skip rehab in the summer, to be scared to be on the court. I mean, we just all just looked at that like, oh, it's whatever. We're the Warriors. We're the champion. But we completely disregarded. Like, that's not normal to skip, to be afraid to be on a basketball court as a basketball player coming off of a championship. That's not something normal.
Yeah. It was literal PTSD. Like,
yeah. So his mental
last time I experimented.
His mental health had to have been at such a severe angle that he wouldn't dribble a ball on a court for 3 months. More than 3 months. If you look at it from June to October, that's.
Well, so it wasn't dribbling on a court. He couldn't do pickups and scrimmages.
That's what I mean, pretty much. Like, go back. It's just a lot going on with him in terms of that. And all of that with mental health is up and down. Some days are good. Some days are bad. Some days you feel more confident. Some days you don't. And I think as his mental health gets better and as he gets out of this, like, negativity space he's in and he works on that, he'll be well and fine. And I think come playoff in April, I feel really good with him being at where he wants to be at. Just like last year, he was perfectly fine for me in the playoffs. For what?
Yeah, like the three out of the three we talked about, I trust that Clay once again will be the most, you know, reliable in the playoffs. And it's like another thing that people don't think about. Last year, like, Clay didn't get back till January. He couldn't play back to backs. And then he gets in the playoffs and he, on our team, plays the most minutes out of everyone on the team.
Yeah, I do believe right now that we should let him play back-to-backs. And when the team trusts you enough to play you back-to-back, it does something to your psyche as well, too. Because right now, they're like, oh, no, like, you're psyching him out, too. Like, there's no reason you should be taking him off back-to-backs. It's been...
Or even on the second night, it's like, if you want to put in a minute restriction on the second night, you know, that's fine. But even like to catch his rhythm, like, it's a little awkward on the, you can't play the back to back. It's just,
yeah. And that's a lot on his head too, because they're like, he's like, oh, these medical professionals and these coaches think that something's going to happen if I play back to back. It's in his head as well. So then that usually means the first day of the back to back, whichever game he plays, he has to do too much to overcompensate for both.
He's like, I'm not going to be able to play tomorrow for sure.
So with him, I just think that the more he just deals with the personal mental health stuff, he'll be at where he needs to be at. And that's just something I feel like we got to just hold patience with, because mental health is very unpredictable. And we got to give him that grace, at least, because he's been a champion. He's been a big part of this team.
Yeah. And I totally agree. Like, with your point about the mental stuff, I think that's why he's rushing the shots. Like, he's questioning, because he's kind of questioning. He's thinking about too much. Like, he's too focused on, like, I can't miss this shot. I need to make this shot. Like, me, blah, blah, blah. I would have always made this shot. So I think that kind of goes hand in hand. So, like, that's why the shots are, cause it's just a release thing. Like, it's literally just like a rush. Like, he's just thinking too much. Like, that's all I'm getting. And I think that the mental health thing falls right in line with it.
And I see the same thing on the defensive side too, because physically I've seen him make great defensive plays back to back and hold the ground, which tells me he physically can do it. And
exactly.
Sometimes, you know, he just looks like he's lost in space on defense.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's just the brain part, but it's just a complete loss in space. Like, he just loses the man. Like, and he's not looking, he's not guarding anybody. And that just tells you also, like, yeah, there's something going on with him mentally, because physically he can do it. We've seen him stop defensive plays, even in the clutch, come up big.
Yeah, I mean, we got the Cavs game to look at, a couple possessions in those Kings game. Like, yeah, we have, like, specific things. And he said it too, you know, in his post game. I like to listen to, like, their post games afterwards. And he said, like, I think it was the Jazz game, and he said, he's like, I completely just blanked.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, that, like, how do you hear that and not recognize, like, that has to be a mental something? Like, that the game is on the line and you kind of just blank. Like that's yeah, mental.
For sure. And moving on to the third member of the three while Steph is gone, Draymond. See, I have my own. He played great game today, so it's very hard to criticize him today out of all games because he's probably played his best game all season today. And it really irritated me, first of all, is that I honestly consider it, like, I don't want to call him a bad name, but the way I look at it is if you sit there and you're supposed to be a leader of this team and you're supposed to be, especially when one of your leaders goes down with injury, you can't go around getting yourself injected in winnable games. You can't go around doing like behaviors that are childish. And it irritates me that the front office and the coaching staff have entertained it and excused it for so damn long. And they sit there and say, oh, you know, you can't expect this from Draymond and not get this part. Yes, you can. It's called growth. Yes, you can. Like, I can get both now. Like, I don't know why the expectation for Draymond is so low.
Like, yeah, even still, Kerr just did in his interview after the game. So he defends it again. Like, oh, that's yeah. Draymond.
And it's just been very corruptive. And I think every player looks at it. I think it's affected Poole to a degree. I know we don't want to associate that punch to the season Poole's having, but it 100% did. It 100% got to his head and is there. And he put that elephant in the room that was not there prior to the season starting. We were coming off a championship, brother. It is, there is nothing that was serious enough for you to argue in before the season even started for you to do that. And now we have to deal with the situation where you weren't even around the team long enough. And when the team doesn't have trust and chemistry with you off the court, that translates to on the court. And I need people to understand, you got to be able to bond and trust each other off the court to trust each other on the court. And so if I don't, like, for example, I don't have, if me and you were on a project together, but me and you had a personal beef, we're not going to do a very good job in this professional project.
Exactly. Because as professional as we try to like portray, there's yeah, animosity for sure.
Exactly. And it's in the air and it's just hard to focus. And then you got all these other things chirping around like, oh, you're supposed to be the man now. You're on the bench and you're making a certain level of money. I don't think we were going to pay Jordan right away this year until next offseason. But he sped that process up, all the way up. Because once you do it, now you're like, let's try to keep him happy and just at least make sure we gave him something. Because if we're not suspending Draymond and we're not fining Draymond, what did we really do? We just let him get away with
it. I do think that they were gonna make the offer. Now the offer might have gotten a little bit embellished. Like, it might have been a little bit added. But I do think that they were going to offer him the contract still.
No, I get that's what you think. But I personally think they were going to wait till summer. Because they have, unlike everybody else, they have his bird right. They can match anything. Yeah, gets offered.
For sure.
And they gave him the max he would have been offered. So it really wouldn't have benefited the front office giving him a contract right now. Because,
I mean, the only thing maybe is maybe confidence.
No, but you would rather have the other end, the high risk, high reward thing. If you're playing for a contract and you are wanting to get it, the risk to not pay him now would have been much greater. I mean, the reward to not pay him right now would have been much greater for Jordan and for the Warriors. Because now you're like, hey, like, players like you usually, like, that come off, they're not like top players or like all-stars yet, but like they're like fringe all-stars. We want to see what you can do. They usually let them play out their contracts. It's not like a Donovan Mitchell situation or a Carl Anthony Towns situation where you want to lock him while you can. So you leave you. But with him, you have his bird rights. You can wait the year and see what takes you. Same thing with Draymond. They didn't extend Draymond this year because they kind of wanted to see where it would take them and see where he is. Because, like you know, we want to see if you're all in. In the end, you still have an option unless you go for free agency. But he's not going to give up $30 million.
Yeah, I think I can see where you're coming from for sure. Also, I think another reason why they might have thought, you know, what if he plays this year? What if he plays like all-star level and, you know, the price goes up? So I think there was a lot of things that came into play, but the price, I can understand where you're coming from though.
But that's the thing with this first contract though. Even if he does make an all-star this year, it will still go up. It translates to it. It doesn't just stop because he signed it right now. So even though
he signed, the incentives that he has aren't, I don't, are they all-star? I think it's all NBA.
You always get the extra bonus if you make the all-star right after your contract is signed.
Because his contract hasn't kicked in yet.
And is usually, I don't even think it's all-star. I think it's all NBA.
Yeah, no, that's what, no. I'm saying though, like by him using that, like exploring free agency, like that. I'm not talking about like the incentives. I
know, not with the free agency, like, because they still can bid him and match any offer because they have his bird right.
For sure.
So like with him, like it would have incentivized him to play his best season of it. But right now he's like, I got the money, but then I'm a, in any other team, I'm a starter. And is in his head. And then like you got Draymond, the quote unquote leader, doing what he did to him. It's just a lot has happened that was not basketball related since this contract situation. And now, you know, you don't want your teammates pocket watching you. You don't want the teammates having the what ifs in their heads about like who should be starting, who should not be starting, like all these irrelevant topics at the moment. You just want him to ball and play freely. And Jordan Poole's a different type of player when he's just playing freely and playing the game that he's supposed to be playing. And with Draymond Green, like, I just feel like he affects, as a leader, he does a lot more negative things to the team as of late than positive. Even today's game, like, when I was watching him, yes, he was looking to score early on. He made his threes. But then come third quarter, fourth quarter, there's, like, four or five layups he just – blatantly just
blows. Yeah,
I'm like, what are you doing? He just reverts right back because he's getting, because thankfully Jordan was 100% elite today. But if Jordan was the same Jordan he was a few games for the whole season, we're not winning this game.
Yeah, even Clay, I think in the second half, like, he started to find a little bit of a rhythm, just kind of keeping us in it for a couple of minutes. But yeah, I think my biggest problem with Draymond offensively is the coast-to-coast stuff right now is, like, it has to be a bad – like, I haven't seen the numbers, but it has to be bad numbers because I'm watching game in and game out. He does this coast-to-coast, and he's blowing the layup. I see him blowing the layup. So it's like, of course, I'm glad to see him, you know, aggressive offensively, but it's like, if you're going to do that coast-to-coast, like, for one, if you miss, you're going coast to coast. So they still have players back. It's going to be a fast break off a miss, you know, off a missed bucket. You don't want to give up a layup off of a missed layup. You don't want that swing. But also it's like, I don't even know if he's trying to make the layup. Like, I can't tell because the way that he's just getting it up there is confusing to me. Like,
I don't,
it doesn't even look like he's going to make it. He's just throwing it up.
I don't get why he doesn't just dunk it. What is your problem? Like, why are you laying it up? Like, I don't understand. Yeah,
and it can't be an athletic thing because I'm watching him on other plays dunk it down. But it's like on those specific coast to coast, he literally does the layup, a right hand layup on the right side, and he just smokes it. Like, I don't know if he's moving too fast. I don't know if it's the hand eye coordination or what, but I wouldn't say it's the hand eye coordination. He's a really good defender, so I don't know what it is, but that's my main part with the finishing is not, of course, if you're going to get, like, if your teammates are dishing it to you, you get a layup, you miss here and there. It's like, fine. It's okay. Like, that's the play. But if you're going coast to coast and you're initiating the offense right away, you have to get something out of it. And I think that's my takeaway.
I give Draymond a little kudos for even playing. I'm waiting for him to get frustrated and just dip out soon and just say my quad still hurts from November. Like, it's him, you know, like, I, as long as he's on the court at least and he's not getting ejected, I guess it's a win for us. And
but that's such a sad, like, that's a sad thing that it's come to that. Like,
it really has,
that we're saying that's our bar. Like,
I'm critical, like, of Draymond, and it's very obvious. Like, I am all-time critical of him, and I don't co-sign his BS because what he does is BS. Because any other leader in any other team does this, they're getting crucified. But because he's just like, just look at the second or third best player of any other team, or the second leader of the team. If Kyrie did this, it would be all over the news. If even Ben Simmons did this crap, it would be all over the news. It'll be all over every basketball topic. Could you imagine LeBron doing this, like, just saying, oh, you know, AD's hurt now, so let me just chill. you know, like, let me just
Yeah, that's 100% true. And I know that we as a fan base make jokes about it. Like, we're like, oh, Draymond doesn't like to play without Steph, but it's kind of like, damn, because it's like your teammate. Like, after that game, I know they lost, and like a lot of people are blaming the game on Klay and everything like that. But it was just, wait, did Klay even play that? No, Klay didn't even play that game. When Steph got injured versus the Pacers, Klay didn't play. And it's just like frustrating because Draymond gets himself ejected, and it's like those guys at the end were literally like
I think the ejection helped
fighting.
you just
Yeah,
get
the
through
guys
it.
were fighting.
If he
They
was
were
just fighting with
fighting. They were
them, it
trying
would
their
be great.
hardest. Yeah. And it's like, even I remember in the Memphis series, what was that, game one? And he gets ejected. And like that wasn't a tech, ejection. That was a flagrant two they did. But it's like the way that the guys fight, it's like before you get kicked out of game, Draymond, I want to see that out of you. Like what you're having, the tenacity that you're having against the referees, like I need you to show that throughout the game. Like I don't just want to inspire. Like if you're going to be missing layups and turning the ball over, I'm gonna need like the all world level defense so that it's fine. And up until tonight, I hadn't seen that much. And I think tonight was the only game, honestly, that we saw it from start to finish.
Yeah, he did a great job today, so I can't even criticize him today. Moving forward, so now just to wrap things up, we have Wiggins probably gonna miss at least three more games. So I'm gonna just say five to be safe. Steph's gonna be out for at least 10 games. Let me just go down to our schedule a little bit. So like we got Knicks who are coming off a 7-game win streak, Nets who have been 11-2 in the last 13 games. Then we have got Grizzlies on Christmas, Hornets, who have been very terrible, Jazz, Trailblazers, who are very promising, Hawks, who've had a disappointing season, Pistons, Magics, Suns, Spurs. So if I leave it up to January 13th and have that as the return date for Steph Curry, or actually, I would probably have the 10th as Steph coming back that way before the road trip. What's our record? What do you think?
So I'm just gonna pull this. Let me
So,
just pull this up for myself again.
give me, yeah, so give
So Knicks Tuesday game. So we're coming off a really good game. I know the Knicks also are. Typically, I actually so one thing about the Knicks bench, they have a lot of young guys on their bench as well. So I don't think we'll be like out, like athletically. I don't think we'll be athletically like disadvantaged. I actually think that if Draymond can play how he did today against Randle, if he can do that, like he can get Randle in his own head and you pretty much take him out the game, that'll, that does wonders. I'm interested to see how Dante guards Brunson. I want to see that.
you
Want to see that matchup
see that game as
actually.
a win?
Say that again.
Is that game a win to you?
I think we can win that game because I'm
Okay.
looking, so for each of their, I'm looking, and I think we can win that game.
Okay. And
I
about
think we can,
that.
and I think honestly, it's going to come out to, I think we're going to out execute them.
Okay. And the Nets? How about the Nets?
So the Nets is where it gets tricky. So being that Wiggins is not going to be back for that game, so who we're going to probably have, Kuminga is going to be guarding KD, I guess. So probably Klay is gonna guard him until then. So that's where it gets tricky because you have KD to guard, you have Kyrie to guard. And the way that teams play against us, Joe Harris has been having a terrible season and he's probably gonna hit six threes that day.
That one I'll just set up. I have the Nets winning that one, and then I have the Grizzlies beating us. However, I have us beating Horn in the homestand. I have us beating Hornets, Jazz. I feel like we can make it interesting with Trailblazers, so that can go up and down. And then
I think we're going to beat the Trailblazers.
I give us one of the Hawks or Trailblazers game, and then I say we take care of business against Pistons and Magic. And I expect Steph to return versus the Suns. And that's after his reevaluation. So we'll hold off on that one. If Steph does return, I think we do beat the Suns. And that gives us a good edge. But if we can at least get 4 out of 10 wins while Steph is gone, or 5, I consider it a win.
I can pencil in 7.
If they go 7 out of 10, I would be really shocked. But impressed. And then that would go off with my takes when Steph returns, and everything is just going to change. The West will be up. If the Warriors can go 7 out of 10 without Steph or Wiggins playing, the NBA is in trouble.
Yeah, because Nets, Grizzlies, we're playing them. It's not a back-to-back. Those are back-to-back games. So that can quickly change, because if they beat the Nets, I think they're going to also beat the Grizzlies.
I really want to beat one or the other two. So either way, it gives me joy.
This is not a knock to them. But the Nets, I'm kind of like, I don't really. It's whatever. Like, I want to beat the Western Conference teams, because when it comes to, like, say it really does come down to seeding later on, like say they go lose some games, you want to have those tiebreakers that you beat them already.
Yeah, for sure. But I think
those two games are the only games that I would even consider a loss in. Mm-hmm. Nets, Grizz, but I wouldn't be surprised if we won either of those games. But then also, Trailblazers is going to be a really good game. But the Jazz, like, that to me, like, that's a win. Like, I think they're going to be really hungry for that this time around.
Yeah. So I would say.
Yeah, I didn't count the Suns.
Yeah. Overall, I see a very confident team and much better. I hope, like, every time I say we turn a leap, they always go, they revert back a little bit and they piss me off. But I hope they don't. Because I said that after the Celtics game, I'm like, damn it, you guys got me again. But then I was like, you know what? We're going to just try to breeze through, survive through these non-Steph games.
But they just have wins like that where it's like, oh my gosh. Like, they have wins like against the Celtics and you're like, this is so promising.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do try to stay on the optimistic side, but obviously I'm going to be realistic about it. Like, some of those games I said, like, I don't, like, I will be for sure. Like, I gave what I think, but, like, I would be, like, if we lost to the freaking Hornets or the Jazz again, if we lost to the Hawks, I would be upset.
But we're going to,
that would be.
Yeah, we're going to stay on the positive side and hope we win. Yeah,
exactly.
And appreciate it. I look very confident. And I think we discussed all the goals and all the things we're talking about Golden State. And I really appreciate you coming on today.
Of course.
I really appreciate it. I mean, if you want to shout out your Twitter handle, because that's where I know you from. That's where we connected.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. They're going to be like, girl. So my Twitter handle is @Claylese, KLAYLESE. That is also my Instagram, but most of my basketball content is on Twitter. So you guys can look out for that. But yeah, I would love a follow. But I just really quickly wanted to also say shout out the bench. They've definitely stepped it up. They have been actually helping us build on to leads in these games. So I just want to shout out them.
Yeah. Thank you, Charlize. Really appreciate you coming.
Yes, thank you for having me on here. Anytime you want to do this again, like, I'm always
definitely ready. We're gonna, if after these 10 games and we got these predictions, me and you are gonna go back over them and see what we got corrected and stuff.
Yes, sounds perfect.
Well, that's Nana signing out for In the Database, episode 7. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
No, they want to see me doing bad, but I'm good. Hey, but I'm good. Hey, no, they want to see me doing bad.